Flanders, the running back. Shotgun Lewis. He's got it. Back. Looks. Pulls it down. Runs it left. He's to the 10. He's to the 5. He pushes the ball up and in for a touchdown. Zed Lewis.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, going to bring in our producer, Dave DiNatale, right now to play a little After Further Review.
After Further Review.
Yes, good afternoon, guys.
What's up, man?
Well, let's go first here with our first question.
Number one.
All right, After Further Review, gentlemen. Who's your MVP from Saturday night's Browns win?
My MVP has got to be Dez Bryant because, as you mentioned, Nathan, two sacks, a couple of tackles, knockdown, just very active. And I think that what's encouraging to me about Dez Bryant being the MVP is that a different defensive lineman up front can be an MVP as the season goes on. One week it's going to be John Hughes. Another week it's going to be Xavier Cooper, kind of how it's been throughout the preseason. So just very interesting, and I thought a lot of it has to do with Danny Shelton taking that double team, but Dez Bryant won those one-on-one battles, so he's my MVP.
And I'll go with Josh McCown in the return there. Two touchdown drives, 17-23, about 120 yards passing, 20 yards rushing, quarterback rating well north of 100. Calm, cool, collected, in control, accurate with the football, no turnovers, led the Browns to the big win, so I'll go Josh McCown.
After further review.
All right, well, speaking of Josh McCown, guys, grade his performance from Saturday night for me.
If I had to give Josh McCown a performance, I would say I'd give
him... what's so funny, Zagura?
Ken Carman just walked into the studio.
Ken Carman's just funny.
Being hilarious.
I've got 75 pounds of belly in my face. if not more. So grading Josh McCown's performance, I would give Josh McCown's performance a B+. I think because of some of the misconnections with Dwayne Bowe, and as we've heard some of the callers, you know, him scrambling around, his decisions to run the football and putting his career at risk for the Cleveland Browns, at least moving into week one, he's going to get a B+ from me.
I'm going to go with a B+ as well. I think that's a good grade because he was efficient. He didn't turn the ball over, but he at the same time didn't push the ball down the field at all. I wanted to see that. He took some unnecessary risks with his well-being, with his person, that we did not need to see in the preseason. So fortunately, he came out of that unscathed, but a B+, solid, strong showing.
After further review.
All right, guys, and we just heard Mike Pettine answer some questions on his conference call about this. On a scale of 1 to 10, this is the Jason Gibbs meter here, 10 being very concerned, 1 being not concerned, how concerned are you about the state of the Browns' running game?
I'm 5, right smack dab in the middle. As I've said many times throughout the entire preseason, I love seeing those chunk runs, and when there is space, I think you can look at Crow and Terrence West and the little we've seen of Duke Johnson and say that those guys can do well behind that offensive line playing their best. When they become average, our running game is diminished and it almost goes away, and that's why, you know, it could bounce even lower into that 3 or 4 range. So I'm mildly concerned, so I'm going to put it at a 5.
10 is very concerned?
Yes.
I'm going to go 7.
Oh, okay.
Because I am concerned. I'm concerned about what the line is doing. We haven't seen it yet. We haven't even sniffed averaging 4 yards a carry yet in the preseason. And we need to do that. We're going to need to do that week in and week out if we want to be effective. And so that's why I am maybe more concerned than others about this ground game, and certainly why I need to see more from it in the regular season, because that's the last time. I'm going to need to see more from it to feel comfortable.
After further review.
All right, should Dwayne Bowe, guys, play a lot Thursday night in Chicago?
I think Dwayne Bowe should play Thursday night in Chicago. I wouldn't say anything outside of the first quarter. So play yes, play a lot no.
Should Dwayne Bowe play? Was that the question?
That's the question. And play a lot.
Definitely not a lot. No, because the issue with Dwayne Bowe is not just his timing in general. It's his timing with Josh McCown. Josh McCown's not going to be playing, so I don't see any need to even put Dwayne Bowe out there. I'd like to see him spend more time and take more reps in practice with Josh McCown to get that timing down.
After further review.
All right, and finally here on After Further Review, the defense, I think we can all agree, looked very, very good Saturday night. What still concerns you about that unit, though, as we get closer and closer to the regular season?
What concerns me about the defensive front, I have to believe, is the depth that we now are struggling with at outside linebacker. Barkevius Mingo, yes, just hit the practice field for the first time, but how that knee is going to hold up. Nate Orchard with, you know, back tightness, not on the practice field. Would love to get him some significant reps in the Chicago Bears game. So, and then bridging that and staying there, focusing on the outside linebackers, their ability to set the edge. We've seen how great they look when they do it. We've also seen, you know, how our defense can turn into a sieve when they don't.
Yeah, I'm going to say two things. Number one, just where are the sacks going to come from in reality, week in and week out for this team? I don't think they have that dominant pass rusher. I don't think they have somebody who is going to consistently just be a force. If Dez Bryant can become that guy on the defensive line, that's great, and you need somebody to step up opposite Paul Kruger and also provide those sacks. I don't know where that's going to come from yet. Is it Nate Orchard in his rookie season? Can he take that kind of leap? But we've never seen it from Barkevius Mingo. Scott Solomon, I don't believe, is that guy either. So the real question to me is, where do the sacks come from? Where does the pressure come from? And then number two, setting the edge continues to be an Achilles heel for this defense. They continue to get gashed and give up big chunk runs. They can't do that. That was an issue for them last year as well. I remember Mike Pettine, I think at his season-ending press conference, talked about how what percentage of the yards that the Browns' 32nd-ranked run defense gave up came from those chunk runs. And at some point, I wonder, is it somewhat scheme-related? Is it personnel-related? They've got to find a way to eliminate those chunk runs against them.
All right, guys, that is
After Further Review
for this Monday.
Dino, thank you very much. We're going to wrap it up with a few phone calls. Tom in North Ridgeville joins us. What's up, Tom?
Hi, guys. Great show today.
Thank you very much.
You know, we're talking about, you know, the final 53. You know, and watching, you know, the Browns in this whole preseason, it seems like we need to find a spot for this Jamie Meador.
He's going to be, you know what his spot's going to be? On the 53-man roster. Jamie Meador's made this team as far as I'm concerned. Well, by the way, Ken Carman loves Pro Football Focus. So I'll point out he's the number one rated defensive lineman in the entire National Football League through 3 weeks of the preseason. So he's played well. He pops on tape every single day, hardworking. And the emergence of Jamie Meador is why I think, you know, it's going to be tough to see Ishmael Kitchen in a Cleveland Browns uniform. It might even be tough to see Phil Taylor in a Cleveland Browns uniform because of the emergence of a guy like number 66, Jamie Meador.
What about Billy Winn, too?
What?
What about Billy Winn, too?
Billy Winn, this defensive line, there are going to be tough decisions that have to be made by Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine. I'm glad when it comes to things like that, you have guys who have been, you know, Brown staples who have played well. Sometimes they battled injury, but who have been here. It's going to be tough. Those are the tough decisions.
It definitely is. And what's shocking, and, you know, Ken and I did the pregame show just, and I was on my drive in, and Billy Winn's interview with Andrew Gribble and him referencing that, yes, while I want to go out and be healthy and put a great performance in front of the Cleveland Browns coaches as they evaluate this 53-man roster, he's also putting tape together for 31 other teams.
He is.
So maybe there, in some cases, the writing's on the wall for him mentally as well. Well, if it's not here, it's somewhere else. And that's what getting healthy and playing well in the preseason and in training camp does for a guy like Billy Winn.
Well, I think when you're Billy, you know what you've done here. You know what you have brought to this team. And you also know at the same time that, you know, there is a numbers game, and you see the moves that have been made. You know,
guys have been paid.
They've paid John Hughes,
yep,
who's in the same boat as you in terms of when you become unrestricted.
Signed Starks.
You signed Starks.
Drafted
two guys. Cooper. So there's a lot of movement there on that defensive line. And I think Billy Winn's a great player. I think if Billy Winn ends up not being here, it'll only be because of the fact that he's battled injuries continually throughout his career. But I think he's a good player. I think he's one of the best 53 here. It'll just be a matter of if the numbers can work out
right
for this team, keeping Buck Wild, Billy Winn. All right, that will do it for us here today. The Browns, again, practicing today right now to reiterate and remind you of the moves made by the Browns earlier today. Six players were released earlier today by the Browns. Two of them young guys, including Shane Wynn, the local kid. Unfortunately, his time with the Browns has come to an end, along with the tight end, who has a very difficult name to pronounce, so I'm not even going to try to butcher it, but I'll give it a shot. Anthony, we'll call him Anthony Izakun. He is gone. Contract terminated for four veterans. Everett Brown, Moise Fokou, Jalen Parmalee, and Aaron Ross. So those are the roster moves. Expect more as the Browns are now at 84. They have to get to 75. That's 9 more players cut by Tuesday at 4 p.m. We'll update you guys on that tomorrow. Good news, though. Gilbert back at practice. Mingo back at practice. Kaywan back at practice. So some good news there today. For our producer, Dave DiNatale, for our guest, the voice of the Cleveland Browns, Jim Donovan, and for the great Matt Wilhelm, I am Nathan Zagura saying thanks so much for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
Stay tuned for the Golden Boys.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.